Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They're Terrified and Tipsy is brought to you by Slash and Cast.
A very good weekend. Had a lot of time in the pool.
Yay!
We just got a pool. The water just got in, and they put all the stuff in, and we got all the pool stuff, and we got like all the floats. Furniture. Yeah, we have a lot of floats.
I believe it.
We had a lot of floats prior to having a pool, which is really weird.
That's weird.
They were in boxes, never blown up before. I guess.
Where are you going to use them? So that makes sense.
True.
Why do you have all those pool floats without having a pool?
I don't know. It's probably because the quote-unquote Easter Bunny brought them.
Oh, okay. You know, because she was planning ahead.
I know. She knew that
she's got magical powers.
That rabbit just gets you every time. How was your weekend?
It's okay.
You can't say what I say. You have to be original.
My weekend was good. I had dinner with a couple of friends last night, so that was nice. And then today I hung out with my mom.
Aww.
So that was fun.
Maria.
Maria's so cute. And then now we're recording, so it was good.
It's a good night.
It was a good weekend. It's always sad that we record on Sunday nights because I'm always like, meh, my weekend. But I do look forward to recording.
I know. This is the fun part.
It is.
A little decompress.
What are we drinking?
We're drinking a lovely Moscato. From the very expensive.
Real bougie. Watch out.
Sutter Home.
It's the mini individual bottles of wine.
To make it even better is what you mean. That's what you meant.
Because we're keeping it classy. That's what it is. Yeah.
Because why dirty a glass when you have a mini bottle that you can just like down?
I asked you if you wanted a glass and you got like offended. You're like, are you crazy?
Why would I dirty one of your cups?
I know. I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. I was just trying to be polite. I'm so sorry.
I love plastic bottles. don't deny
it's
me.
Not the first time we've drank straight out of the mini bottles, and it won't be the last.
No.
So yeah.
Buckle up, people. Go get your non-glass mini bottle of plastic.
Get
Moscato.
On our level.
I bet you can't be bougier than we are.
You can try, and if you're gonna bust out the can wine. Stop. We got bottles over here.
Hey, what did we watch?
So we're mixing it up a little bit for the next couple weeks.
Yes, we are.
Which I'm actually really excited about.
Well, we haven't done this before.
I know. I think it's going to be, one, since it's new for us, it's going to be exciting. But I'm really interested in watching a series. So there's a brand new series on Netflix that came out, I want to say the 24th.
That sounds right.
Because it's just a few days ago from when we're recording right now.
Yeah.
And it's called Midnight Mass. And if anybody's watched like The Haunting of Hill House or Bly Manor, it's the same creator or director as those ones.
Yeah.
I'm excited for a series because I like the building of like the storyline and the characters.
You do like a good storyline.
The random little like jump scares here and there, but it's not all packed into like one episode. I like the like building.
And I mean, I don't think, I am kind of, I'm going to say it and don't judge me.
I won't.
Well,
I mean, I'll try not to. I'll change my verbiage. I'll try my best.
I'm really new to the whole Netflix scene.
Okay.
Okay. So I have never watched any of these series in general, regardless if
horror
it was scary
related or not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
So this is kind of like my first dive into a series on Netflix.
Of like binge watching?
I don't binge. Mm. I really get mad when Netflix tries to make me watch the next episode. It really pisses me off.
It like rushes into it.
I don't like it. I'm like, this is too much for right now. I don't pressure me. Netflix, stop.
It's so funny because I get worked up easily, but seeing the things that get you worked up are so funny to me. Because literally nobody has a problem binging things when they're streaming, right?
I don't want that.
But meanwhile, it's because here's what it is. I will diagnose it right now for you. Okay. You in general don't like being told what to do.
Oh, that's
true. You have a very
true.
Big issue with authority sometimes.
Oh, I do.
So now that Netflix is insisting that you watch another episode,
I don't
you're
like
I didn't tell you that, Netflix.
No.
This is my terms.
You know what? I don't like that. And you know what? And two, so I have I record a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
And when I'm done with an episode, it pops up with a box that says,
like, delete it or not.
Mm-hmm. Delete it or not. Do you want to watch the next episode?
Yeah.
It asks me.
Yeah.
It doesn't just start playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, Netflix? Don't be a dick.
It encourages binge watching.
I know. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
I like it a lot.
Ugh.
Because, I like it and I don't like it. I like it because I'm like, yeah, I think I will watch another one. But then I don't like it because I'm like so not productive the whole day. I'm like, well, I've just watched 6 episodes of the show. Great.
I'm not letting it dictate my life. You can't tell me what to do, Netflix. Do not force me to watch TV.
I'll tell you when I'm good and ready.
So literally, because tonight we are recording episode 1 and 2
right.
of this series. So I physically turned off the TV after the first one, even when I was ready to watch
the
second
Netflix.
One.
Netflix.
Like I was going to watch it, but I'm mm-hmm. like, no, you can't tell me what to fucking do.
Even though you were going to watch the second one anyway?
Yeah. So I turned it off and I went and got something to drink and then I came back and turned the TV back on. Don't tell me what to do. Fuck you, Netflix.
But if you want to sponsor us, that's cool too.
I mean, whatever. I'm just saying, I do have a little bit of, I don't like being told what to do.
Don't I know
and
it.
Just assume that I want to watch another episode, even though I do. It doesn't matter. Let me make that determination. Don't just force it on me.
Right, of course. Of course.
I feel really worked up right now.
You are worked up. This is such a change of pace.
Oh, my God.
It's weird on this side of the table.
Oh, my God.
It's so weird.
I haven't even started the episode yet.
Your cheeks are getting red.
I know. I'm getting hot.
I'm like the calm one today, guys. This is crazy.
I can't. I'm getting all worked up.
Well, would you like to hear the IMDb synopsis
for it? Yeah, fine, whatever.
I knew you were mad. You didn't even do the DB part with me. Okay. This is what IMDb says. An isolated island community experiences miraculous events and frightening omens after the arrival of a charismatic, mysterious young priest.
He is very mysterious.
Yeah, and charismatic.
I know. I like him.
That's the problem. They want you to.
But
I don't trust him.
I know. It's a stoic face where it's just like, what do you know?
And he speaks with such like confidence.
Yeah.
I don't trust him, though. He's up to something.
And he knows a lot.
He knows everything. It's freaking me out.
Let's not give away too much.
Okay, before we hop in, let's remind people of a couple of things.
Okay.
Tipsypod.com.
Yes.
Guys, live there. If you haven't checked in yet, check in.
You know what? Huh? Should we create a check-in on our website?
That'd be so good.
Just say hi.
Hey, guys.
You know how like you can wave at people on Facebook? You should do that.
Oh, that'd be fun. I don't know how to do that.
Me neither. Dustin.
Is that a thing?
Dustin.
Doesn't help. He's like, stop creating jobs for me. You can find all of our social media on there. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. Go check them out. Twice a month, we have watch-alongs come out on YouTube. So subscribe to our YouTube channel.
That's and a shit show.
Watch us struggle. Or me struggle.
Yeah, you.
It's fine. Either way, it's a lot of fun. You can find ways to support our show on there. If you want to buy some Tipsy Pod merch, that's a great way to support our show. Mm-hmm. And then you can walk around with a Tipsy Pod shirt on and people will be like, oh, what's that Terabyte and Tipsy? What's that? And then you could be like, oh my God, it's the best podcast ever. You should listen to it.
It's as easy as that.
It's so natural and organic too. Like, that's how it would go.
Just like that.
Just like that. You could also buy us a glass of wine at buymeacoffee.com. $3 for a glass of wine goes a long way. $2 of that helps support our show, and $1 goes to the puppies and the kitties of the Humane Society.
Which I love.
We love it.
Yes.
We want to help the puppies and the kitties.
Of course we do.
And we also have a Patreon.
Patreon!
There are 3 different tiers on that. You pick the one that works the best for you, and all of them help support our show, so we love you for doing that. Mm-hmm. You get exclusive content. You get videos that no one gets on their normal feed. You
That's
get
right.
episodes they don't get on the normal feed. You get ad-free episodes, and you can get the episodes on Tuesday instead of Wednesday.
Which, why wouldn't you want us to hear a day early?
Right, because if you're listening to the episode on Wednesday and it's like finished and you're like, oh, I gotta wait a whole week. No,
no.
6 days. 6 days. Get on the Patreon. Then you'll have to wait 7 days. But it's not that early. It's not that earlier than everybody else, though.
That's right. What she said.
All right, should we hop in?
Please. I feel like we should.
So we're at episode 1.
So episode 1 is called Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
So we start off with a head-on crash.
Yeah.
And we are administering CPR. And then there's a man sitting on a curb watching this woman having CPR done on her.
He's bloody and handcuffed.
He is bloody and handcuffed. He kind of looks a little out of it.
Yes.
A paramedic comes over to check him out. And he asks if, quote unquote, she is okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, do we know her? Is she part of him? Like, is she part of, like, whatever? We don't know. He realizes when they stop that, well, she has passed.
Yeah.
And then he starts reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. All right. So the paramedic tells him to ask the Lord why he always takes the kids and leaves the drunks with just scratches.
Yeah.
So he's the drunk with scratches.
Because, you know, when we first see it, we don't know if they were in the car together and she just died. But then the camera pans away and we see a full-on head-on collision, and we realize he was in one car and she was in the other, and he was drunk driving.
Don't drink and drive.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we are now in a courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's name is Riley.
Yes.
He's one of the lead characters in this thing.
I think I did pretty good with people's names, except for one person.
Okay.
But I think I did pretty good with people's names in this one, so I didn't know his name was Riley.
Okay, good. So Riley's getting his sentence. Mm-hmm. He is being sentenced for the death of this girl. Mm-hmm. Her name was Tara Betty, mm-hmm. which is an interesting name.
Yeah.
That doesn't roll off the tongue.
It was like hyphenated.
Yeah. It still doesn't roll off the tongue. But anyways, so her family is there holding up signs with her picture on it.
Kind of like custom shirts made.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the judge tells him that he will be incarcerated for 4 to 10 years.
Ugh.
And will also pay $140,911 to the victim's family. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now in jail, we see Riley. He receives this package from his mother, who wrote him this really nice letter and also includes a bunch of family pictures, includes a Bible with an inscription of Genesis 39:21. Should I read it?
If you want.
I don't know if it, I mean, basically it's about being in prison.
Oh.
Yeah. So it said.
But, I didn't read it. So okay. That's cool.
Okay. Well.
You can inform all of us.
But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in sight of the keeper of the prison. She also writes that he is with you and she wants him to know that she loves him.
Okay.
And it said mom. So basically she's trying to
comfort him.
Lift his spirits a little bit.
Yeah. And if you guys couldn't tell by the title Midnight Mass, this entire series is very religious.
Oh,
so
very.
I think.
And we're on the Catholic side too.
100%. When we get to it, we'll kind of fill you in, but we'll try to tread kind of lightly on some of the like really religious stuff because we don't want to like offend anybody.
Yeah.
But we'll just keep you in the loop on what's actually happening.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. So as the lights go out in his jail mm-hmm. cell, the prison seems to be coming alive. It's a lot louder than it was when the lights turned off.
A lot of commotion.
Inmates are talking. Mm-hmm. Won't shut the fuck up. How do you sleep? How do you sleep in prison?
Well, I was wondering if that was actually happening or if that was in his head. Like, I couldn't figure it out.
I don't know.
I don't know, because he's just like laying on his side in this dark cell and there's so much happening.
I don't know if I'm ever going to find that out.
I don't want to ever.
Because I don't want to be in prison. Mm-mm. I don't think I wouldn't do it.
No,
I couldn't do it.
No. I don't want to be there at all.
I wouldn't survive.
That's why I'm a rule follower. I'm a good girl. I don't want to go near.
So he lays down and the noise starts to kind of fade away.
Yeah.
And he sees flashes of this bloody glass-filled face of a woman that he killed.
Yeah. Because we see, like, on his face, the red and blue from, like, the police sirens, like, reflecting on his face a mm-hmm. little bit. And then it quickly juts over to this girl across him, who was the girl he killed in the car accident with all this glass shards in her face.
Yeah.
And the blue and red lights are reflecting off of this glass, and she's just staring at him.
It's a pretty cool effect.
It was creepy looking. It made me jump, and I was like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
And then they're just kind of staring at each other before he falls asleep.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I was like, okay, starting off strong.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to have nightmares. Gotcha. So now we are 4 years later.
Yep.
So we are at Crockett Island, population 127.
Oh my God. Wow. I can't imagine.
It's a pretty desolate town.
Yeah. It looks like nothing's been repaired on that island for decades.
It's all basically the same color.
Everything.
Everything is that.
All of the houses kind of look dilapidated.
Oh, they do.
It's.
Ugh. Well, how do you get someone to fix it?
I don't know. You'd have to know someone on that island of that 127.
Right.
Oh, man.
So, okay. So the camera pans over this island mm-hmm. that we see that's in this middle of the ocean.
Yep.
We meet Annie and her husband, Ed, who mm-hmm. are Riley's parents.
Yep.
And she's talking to him on the phone about like the boat schedule to make sure that he doesn't miss it since there's only two ferries that come out there now. Ed seems to be real uninterested.
Yeah.
And
he seems very disappointed in his son
yeah.
and like stays distant from him.
It's he does. Sad. Like as she's on the phone with Riley, he kind of like walks out.
Yeah. Cause she's like, oh, you want to talk to your father? Never mind. He's outside. He left the room.
Mm-hmm. And now we meet Riley's brother, Warren,
yep.
who is basically on his way out. He's going to go meet some friends.
And a lot younger than him. Yeah. I was trying to figure out what Riley's age was in this movie. Cause they don't really make it clear on how old he is. He's probably in like his early 30s, I would feel like. Right.
Maybe
like early to mid 30s. I can't tell.
I can't tell either.
Because Warren, his son's got to be in high school.
Maybe. Well, he has to be. Yeah, he is.
I just can't figure out. Maybe he was like a little oopsie baby or something.
Oh, possibly.
Right? Because there's a big age gap between them.
No, it's a pretty big age gap. You're right about that. Okay. So his mother tells him to be back before curfew uh-huh. and no drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
He's like, okay, Ma.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, Ma. Warren heads out on his bike mm-hmm. into this, what I said, desolate town.
Yes.
He passes by some neighbors, waves at them. Everything seems to be the same color. Mm-hmm. And then he arrives at the dock. One of his buddies comes up. Ochre. Cool. I think it's Ochre. So Ochre pulls up. And then Aladdin, another one of his friends, pulls up. But he's not part of like their group.
Is his name really Aladdin?
Yeah, because I think they call him Allie.
That sounds so inappropriate to me. They're not on IMDb. It's just like Ollie or Allie or whatever.
Yeah, Allie. Okay. Yeah, but I think his full name is. Anyways, his name is Aladdin.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
So they're waiting on one of their other buddies that's mm-hmm. coming in on the ferry. His name is Bull.
Really a buddy of theirs, but they're waiting for somebody to come in off the ferry.
He's the drug deliverer, basically.
100%. And then before the drug guy, gets off the boat, this other dude gets off the boat like dragging this huge trunk, like this giant trunk chest thing off of the ferry. Like no one's helping him. He's dragging this huge thing off this boat. And then this like sketchy drug dealer gets off the ferry too.
Of course he does.
And meets the guys like around the corner from the boat.
Right. So Bull doesn't want Allie there and is afraid that he's going to be like a narc. Like he doesn't want anybody to tell like he's the drug dealer, which it seems to be that they really know. They do know.
I mean, it's pretty obvious that he is. Right? And of fucking course, Allie is the sheriff's son. Of course. Of course he's the sheriff's son. So Allie's like, well, I'm not going to tell my dad. Fuck my dad. Is that what you want to hear? I'm not going to tell him. And he's like, okay, kid, calm down. Here's your drugs.
But like what? Like, I don't, what is that going to do?
How does that help? It doesn't. I don't know. He's just telling what he wants to hear. I mean, they still got their drugs. Doesn't matter.
They do.
They got a bag of weed. It's fine.
And then they start heading off on their bikes.
Yeah.
So as they're passing by through town again, they go by Lisa's house.
Lisa's house. Yep.
And shows the weed that they're going to have and wishes like she could go.
Right.
Like, but we don't really know
why she can't. Yeah.
But we find out.
Uh-huh.
She's basically in a wheelchair. Her mother calls her in.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that. So we now see someone, we don't know who he is, but he's on the ferry earlier carrying this large trunk.
Yeah.
We see him shoving this trunk into a house.
A tiny little house.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And he bangs on the top of it. And then like a couple seconds later, something bangs back.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like don't know who's in there or what's in there, but I didn't like it.
I don't know. He starts to unlock it and then it just flashes to a different scene. So that's like it for that. And I'm like, oh God, what's in the trunk?
Uh-huh.
What you got in the trunk, boy? I know.
What's happening in there?
I don't know. So back to Warren and his friends, and they're riding their bikes.
It's now nighttime.
They get to a canoe.
It's a terrible idea. Always a terrible idea. The three of them pile into this canoe. And my first thought is, are they just going to smoke weed on the canoe? Because that's a terrible idea.
Right.
But it's still kind of worse because they canoe over to this other part of the island called the Uppers.
Yeah.
And they have to do this like long ass hike to get where they're going.
It's a lot.
But I'm thinking like, okay, so you have to canoe where you're going and then you got to fucking hike to wherever you're going to smoke weed at. And then once you're high, you have to hike back and get in the same canoe and get back to the mainland. Well, the island that you live on. All of this is a terrible idea to smoke weed. Like if you're going to smoke, just go to the edge of the water, like get where the canoe is and just smoke there.
Well, it's not like they have a lot of lights on there either. So I wouldn't think that they could just walk into the dark area of town.
Right. Now they got to paddle and try to coordinate with each other to get across the water. It's a terrible idea.
It's a lot of work.
That's exhausting.
But maybe this is where they've been going for years. Like everybody, like every generation before them.
Maybe they've gotten used to it. They just know how to paddle high now, maybe.
They just want to get the hell out of there. I mean, where are they going to go on that island?
That island is sad. It's really depressing.
It's very dilapidated. All right. So they're walking through these woods once they get to the Uppers.
Yeah.
And then there's like this, like a monster pelican and like a ton of cats.
Yeah. So they're walking and two of them have flashlights, which I'm like, great. I'm happy about that.
Right.
And they're shining it into this like narrow walkway with these bushes all around this walkway.
These cats.
And you see the glowing eyes of all of these cats. I mean, hundreds of cats on this island.
All you can hear is meowing.
And you see their eyes glowing. And then the friend who he met with at the dock, first I can't remember what his name was, but he's walking in the back of it and he like hears this like big bird kind of fly over them.
Yeah.
You guys see that?
What?
Like a heron or a monster pelican?
He's like, did you guys see that? That was like a giant bird or something. And I'm like, I don't think it was a giant bird. There's no way you're hiking in the dark and all of a sudden a giant bird flying over. There's no way.
Right, right, right.
It's nighttime. There's no way. But they get to like the top of this hill thing that they're walking on and they sit around this little like camp kind of looking thing. There's like people have been there before. There's like logs from to sit on and they just like shine the flashlight and you still see all these cat eyes.
I'm not interested
there's
in that.
There's so many and you hear them meowing and yelling. It's awful. But they get up there and they smoke a joint.
Of course.
We hear all the cats screaming. One of the friends is drinking a little bit. And they're still talking about how there's like these legends about it being haunted up there.
Oh, yeah. Haunted by Harpoon Harry.
I'm like, yeah, of fucking course it is. Of course it is. So then the cats start making this crazy noise.
Oh, yeah.
What's the other friend's name? Not Alex.
Ochre.
Ochre. And he's like listening to the sound and he's like, yep, that's the sound of cats fucking.
I'm like, yeah, you're probably not wrong.
Yeah, it sounds awful, so I'm sure. So then Warren takes his flashlight and starts shining around the bushes, and we see this creepy human-like silhouette with these glowing eyes, like a skeleton-like silhouette, staring at him from in the fucking bushes.
And of course, he gets freaked out and like he like falls off the bench or what he's sitting on.
He yells, and I didn't like it either. And his friends are like, what the fuck? And he shines the flashlight back. And of course, there's nothing there.
No, of course not.
And he's like, oh, I guess I just thought I saw something. And they just go back to smoking. And I'm like, I don't know. I would have been like, I'm out. We got to get back to the canoe. I can't. There's a weird, creepy skeleton thing in the bushes with these creepy ass cats. I'm out.
Maybe it's because they were smoking that they were like not.
Just didn't register.
Maybe.
Maybe. I could see that.
Still not okay.
No.
Not okay.
I don't like it one bit. Nope.
Okay. So we're done with that.
Yes.
So apparently they got back.
Apparently.
But we don't know.
Because we're the next day. Right. So like, we assume that they're safe.
Now we see the Bay Breeze, one of the ferries that Riley is on, is heading towards the island. His mom is anxiously awaiting for him, like, on the...
She's so excited to see
him. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
She's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of movements going on with her. She's, like...
Running all over the place.
Amped up.
Yes.
When he gets off the boat, Riley asks where his dad and Warren are.
Yeah.
And his mom just wants him to get fed. Like, she just wants to feed
him. You know he can't miss a shift, so let's just go home. Like, get some food in your stomach. And I'm like...
She just kind of avoided the subject.
I feel really bad that, like... If his dad is disappointed in what he did, fine. You could be disappointed, but he didn't even, like, come to greet him after 4 years.
I know.
That's really sad.
I think he's probably just struggling with it.
Yeah.
Like...
Doesn't know how to handle his emotions.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Poor guy.
But as they walk off, they pass by a woman, Miss Keene. She's at the dock as well.
hate her. I want to express really quickly
I can't
how
wait.
Much I dislike this woman.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even have her name in my notes. I just refer to her as the Brady bitch.
Oh.
Because it's not because of her name's Brady. It's because she wears this long ass braid in her hair.
Yeah.
And she is such a manipulative,
oh, yeah.
stuck up, angry woman.
She knows everything about everything.
And she is rude to everyone. And just to my core, oh, I hate her. I hate her. She makes me crazy.
I think the creator of this invoked the emotion that she was trying to get.
Done. Because yes. This bitch. This Brady bitch.
Well, her name is Miss
Brady bitch.
Okay. You're not even using like her real name. You're just.
No. My notes the entire time just say Brady bitch. I don't even have her name. I don't even care. She's awful.
She is awful.
She's awful.
Well, she walks over to the ferry and speaks to the, I guess, captain. His name is Sturge.
Uh-huh.
And asking about Monsieur Pruitt, who mm-hmm. was supposed to be on board, but he's not.
No.
And Sturge hasn't seen him. He's like, I don't know how to help you, woman.
Right. Like, he's not here. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Okay. So she gets pissed off and I'm sure she just walks away.
She's like, let me speak to your manager.
So we are now at the OBGYN.
Uh-huh.
And
the one doctor on the island, she does it all.
Yeah, she does. At this point, she is the OBGYN uh-huh. because we have a pregnant woman.
Right.
Her name is Erin Green.
Yes.
And she's getting a sonogram of her baby. She's yep. 20 weeks pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
They both get a glimpse of Riley as him and his mother are like walking by yep. the house. And the OBGYN says, well, I guess he's home. Okay. Well... So I guess everybody, I guess we're all anticipating that he was coming. And I'm sure his mother was talking about him.
127 people on this island. Everybody knows everybody's business.
Oh, you know they do.
Everybody does. So they know that he was in jail for 4 years because he was drunk and killed somebody in a car accident.
Right.
So they all know everything. So when they're, and okay, this island is tiny, right? 127. There's no cars on it. So they walk or ride their bikes everywhere. So from the ferry, they are literally walking. I don't know how freaking far.
I don't know.
But they are walking through town, passing people's houses. Like, they are literally on display for everybody in this town because they have to walk from A to B. And of course,
literally one road
is like on the opposite side of the island on this different, whatever, east or west bank of whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, now everybody's just looking at them. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
Poor Riley. Everybody's just staring at him, judging him.
Like casting stones in their minds.
I know. And I'm like, leave him alone. He served his time.
Yeah.
He did what he had to do. Leave him alone. They don't.
Oh, no. No, they don't. Everybody's in each other's business.
100%.
All right. So Riley and Annie walk by the sheriff.
Yep.
And it's the sheriff's office that's in the
grocery store.
Okay. So that's fine. So Annie, she's like
resourceful, I guess.
She is
saving time.
And electricity.
Yeah, there
you go. It's not a separate building. It's the same. Okay. So you can like go in and get your apple juice as well as
complain against something. Have you seen my bike? I need to report my bike missing. Oh, but I also needed eggs.
Well, Annie tells the sheriff that she switched shifts and she's going to be in later. Mm-hmm. He's like, take your time. It's fine. You know, she can
see
that.
Not a big rush today.
Yeah.
I think everything's okay.
It's a little slow.
I'll cover your shift. I'm the sheriff. It's fine.
So now we find out he goes into this general store and we realize that the sheriff's office is in the back of the store.
It literally says sheriff on the door.
Literally. He walks in the office and then there's a jail cell mm-hmm. like on the opposite side where the town drunk, his name is Joe.
Yep.
He's in the jail cell. Apparently he was creating a ruckus the night before and just doing stupid shit.
He tried to break into the grocery store with an oar. And he was claiming he was being chased by a gigantic albatross.
Oh, he did. Yes.
And I'm like, okay, isn't that what the kids that were getting high on the mountain said they saw a giant bird?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Okay.
We're just building.
Okay.
People are seeing birds.
Yeah.
But he was the drunk. So, of course,
so
everybody's going to
like,
believe him.
Okay, Joe.
Right.
Classic Joe.
So the sheriff lets him out and his dog is waiting for him outside, which is really cute.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have... what did you call her?
The Brady bitch.
The Brady bitch. She walks by and just like berates him.
Yeah, she claims that the dog tried to bite her.
Yes.
And Joe's like, maybe barked at you, but he would never bite. Like,
she's like, if I would have stuck out my hand, it would have bit me.
She's so evil. She's just like a curmudgeon. And like, there's not a happy bone in her body.
No.
Everything is angry. And she was just bitching about how this dog was going to bite her. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
No one cares.
No one cares.
And I wish the dog would have bit you because you deserve it.
All right, so Annie and Riley mm-hmm. get to the house.
Finally.
It's been hours.
It's like dark now. Yeah, right. They're dehydrated.
I know. Well, she makes them some coffee or something in a cup.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming they're coffee because they're drinking it together. And yeah. I feel like that's what you do.
I assume it was coffee too.
Yeah, tea or coffee or something. Yeah. Okay. So she is making excuses for why his dad wasn't there to meet them at the ferry. So she goes on to tell Riley that there was an oil spill 3 years before mm-hmm. and it's been a tough time crabbing.
Yep.
And now they're giving him limits and it's just been really hard.
Yeah, like, and there's only certain places he can go to crab now.
Correct.
And he can only get so much because of the oil spills and what happened. And it affected so many people, everybody on the island, basically.
There was a lot more people on the island.
She said the island used to have hundreds of people on it, but now it only has dozens and it's like a ghost town.
Yeah.
You want to talk population decline? Let's talk about the people on this island. We used to be hundreds. Now we're just dozens.
I mean, 127 is about the size of my graduating class.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's an entire island.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Which I know I had a small graduating class too, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah, you definitely did. But you had an entire island worth of people, apparently. I have a question.
Yes.
I am sure it's not easy to like pick up and relocate your family, but like I have to assume this takes place in the Northeast somewhere. I'm assuming Massachusetts or something like that. That's my assumption.
I feel like they say it.
I don't know.
I don't think I wrote it.
I didn't, but I'm assuming with like the gloomy weather and the fishing, I'm assuming it's like the Northeast. Maybe. I have no idea. But like, couldn't he go to like another fishing town? Like, do they have to stay on that island? Like, maybe it's a pride thing or a financial thing, but I'm thinking like, couldn't you be a fisherman for like a different boat or different company or different town or something?
If your family was like for generations upon generations,
it's probably a pride thing.
It probably is. Mm. It's like a family. You know, they needed to stay.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have answers. I'm just guessing.
What do I know?
I don't know. The mayor calls a meeting uh-huh. with the sheriff and some of the townspeople to talk about the storm that was coming up.
Yep.
The next day.
Mm-hmm.
And how they're going to need to prepare and everything done. Miss Keene.
Ugh.
She, when the sheriff says something about as far as like where the shelters are going to take place,
they should hide in the rec center if people need shelter.
Correct. Mm. Do it in the school. And Miss Keene's like, excuse me.
I have something rude to say. Pay attention to me. Oh, I hate her.
She said that the school has always been used as a shelter.
She wouldn't expect him to know that.
Though. Oh, no.
She wouldn't expect him to know that.
No, that's just something that he would never know. So she's going to fill him in and uh-huh. let him know. And she's just got this condescending tone.
Yes.
The entire
time. And she speaks so like a matter of fact and just like so condescending that I'm like, is someone going to shut this bitch up? Well, like she's the kind of person that no one has ever stood up to in town.
Yes.
They all just like roll their eyes when she talks because they did that while she was talking.
Oh my
like,
God. Two of the women.
Doctor, yeah. OBGYN. Aaron.
Yeah.
Dr. Sarah. That's Sarah. Who Sarah is. The OBGYN.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Aaron was there and they just like roll their eyes when she's talking. But I'm like, no one has ever shut this bitch down.
No, because I don't think it's going to work. I mean, I don't think it's going to matter.
She's whether so you say entitled. Something.
Yeah.
Can't stand her.
Such a bitch.
Yes.
Okay. So dinner that night at Riley's house mm-hmm. was a little awkward.
Super awkward.
I don't know if I would have liked it a whole lot.
Yeah.
Annie asks how Warren's stay was at school mm-hmm. and talks about Mrs. Green. Mm-hmm. So that's his teacher.
Yeah.
So Riley asks how she was since he's left. And he's like, well, it's the new Mrs. Green. Yeah. Not the old Mrs. Green.
She died
in the spring mm-hmm. And now her daughter is teaching for her. They have the same name, whatever. Mm-hmm. So she's moved back from the mainland where she was at.
Yeah. And Riley's like, oh, it's Aaron, because he knows her.
Uh-huh.
We find out more how they know each other, but now we're just like, okay. That makes sense why she noticed him walking down the street when she's at the doctor's office before.
We have a little history.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So they start talking about going to church the next day because mm-hmm. it's going to be Sunday.
Very religious town.
Mm-hmm. And Riley says that he doesn't want to go. Mm-hmm. And then they talk about Monsieur Pruitt, that he was old. He's been on like some kind of like
pilgrimage or something.
Some kind of pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know where he. Did they say
I think he went to Israel.
Okay.
Because they said that he went to walk.
That would make sense.
In their father's footsteps and the whole experience. And because Riley's like, why would they send an 80-year-old man on a pilgrimage?
Kind of joking.
Yeah, because he's like, because I guess what the mom was saying is that the whole town got money together for him to like make this pilgrimage before he died, I guess.
Correct.
And Riley's like, why would you spend so much money on this old man?
It's like a death sentence.
Who's not going to be able to do it in this stuff. And he's like 80-something years old. And they were like kind of doing it as like maybe his last hurrah or something like that.
Yeah.
But he was kind of making some jokes about, like, he used to be an altar boy and his brother's an altar boy. And the dad the entire dinner says nothing.
Quiet.
He's a man of very few words. Mm-hmm. But he said nothing. He's just eating his dinner. But then once they started talking about how Riley doesn't want to go to church and he started joking around with the altar boy, he mm-hmm. said that he would only be an altar boy for the chicks. Like, that's what he was saying to his brother, who was laughing.
Yeah.
Dad was pissed.
No, he didn't like
that. He did not like it at all.
He got loud.
Yes.
And he starts telling Riley that he will be going to church, especially mm-hmm. after what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So buckle up.
He's like, consider part of your, was it probation or
probation,
something?
Probation, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so now we see Mrs. Keene again, or Miss mm-hmm. Keating again. She goes over to the church and she kind of knocks on the door.
Monsignor!
Like, Monsieur, like, where you at, whatever. Yeah. So she sees that he's home. She just walks in with her keys.
I know. I'm like, just help yourself, bitch.
I don't. Does she?
She had a shit ton of keys. So where do all those keys go to? Like, whose house does she have keys to?
I don't know. Probably everybody's.
She had, like, a janitor's kind of ring of keys. Then she's knocking on the door relentlessly. And then she's like, oh, I guess I'll just help myself and barge into your house.
So she just, like, starts talking to him as, like, he's there in front of her. But he's not there.
I'm like, stop talking. You're annoying everybody.
Well, she keeps talking. He's not showing his face at mm-hmm. all. She talks about how horrible the new sheriff is.
She's like cleaning up the place, picking up bags, putting on there. She notices the big trunk and is like checking it out.
Oh, yeah. So this is the same house that the guy that we don't know who he is uh-huh. brought
that
this trunk
giant
in.
Trunk and yes. knocked back at him.
So she looks at the trunk, and then when she kind of stands back up, she sees a man who isn't the Monsieur because of her reaction.
Uh-huh.
We can kind of see the back of his head,
yeah.
but that's all we can see. He's like standing in a dark hallway.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, and that's it.
And that's it.
That's it.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right, so we are back at Cat Island, is what I'm lovingly calling it, and following a cat down one of the paths.
Yep.
So he comes to another dead cat that's mm-hmm. laying in the middle of this walkway.
Yeah.
And then we hear something in the bushes, like right next to it.
Yeah.
And then whatever that was grabs the cat, and the cat sounds like it's being eaten.
Yeah. It's all wet sounding.
It did have some wet sounds.
A little crunchy and wet sounding. Gross.
Crunchy and wet. All right. So now we're back at Riley's house.
Yes.
Riley's in his room when his dad comes in and says that his mother has been going to church every single day since the accident happened, praying for Riley.
So awkward.
I know.
So awkward.
So Riley says that he will apologize to her tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then Ed tells him that he needs to go to church, but he cannot take communion.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a really big thing. You sit down, you stay back while everybody else takes communion because you can't do that if you don't accept it.
Yeah.
Like you can't accept the religion.
100%.
Okay. And I remember actually going because my best friend growing up, she was Catholic and they would always go up and I would always stay back.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't my religion.
I grew up Catholic, but I don't remember it being like a frowned upon thing if you didn't take communion.
No.
Like, because some people just didn't want to do it.
Well, maybe because there's only like 20 people in the church where it is a big thing that if you're there.
Oh, they're all so judgy.
Oh, yeah. They are. Whether they mean to or not, they are.
They're bad. Yeah.
Okay. So now we're out of church. Mm-hmm. We're in a different scene. So Allie and his dad pray before bed. Yeah. So they're showing their religion.
Yeah. They are the only people on this island who are not Catholic.
Correct.
And it's a very noticed thing in the neighborhood. Everybody knows that they're not Catholic and they don't go to church on Sundays with them. It comes back a couple times, but they are praying. They're doing their thing in his room before his son goes to bed at night.
Correct.
And it's like at this point of the movie, we're kind of seeing everybody's like nighttime routines.
Yes.
Like, they both prayed. He talked to his son and he's like, don't go on your phone.
And
whatever,
he does,
whatever.
You know, just normal teenager.
Of course. So then we see Dr. Sarah, the OBGYN.
Uh-huh.
She's helping her mom get ready for bed. Her poor mom is like got dementia or something.
Something where she just has forgotten.
She's so frail too. So she's helping her mom get into bed. And then we like hop back to Riley's house and he's not asleep. He's just looking out the bedroom window and he sees his brother Warren sneaking out of the house.
Kind of smirks a little bit.
Because he's kind of like, yeah, I used to do that.
I know.
All right, fine, whatever. So then we see Riley lay down in his bed, get kind of comfy, lay on his side again. And then the camera angle changes a little bit. And we're like, this feels familiar from the very beginning. And we see him and we see some lights strobing again and the camera quickly goes and he's staring at the poor dead girl from the car accident again, just staring at him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, is this like his weird nightly routine? Like, does he have this like
every single
trauma
night for
every
the last
night?
4 years?
It feels like it, right?
Yeah.
Because he has this weird, like, he sees the girl from the car accident and then the scene changes of him like in a boat. like in the middle of the water. And then it like flashes back to like her. And then it flashed to this part of the church with blood on the walls.
Yeah.
And then it flashed back to the girl from the car accident. And then we see him on the boat again. And that's it. So I don't know if he was like having a weird dream.
I don't know. I think the boat, I feel like the boat's going to come back in some form or fashion. Because sure. It hasn't been.
It's definitely foreshadowing for something.
Correct.
But I would think he sees that girl every night before he goes to bed. Oh, it's going to be his guilt or something. Ooh. But he definitely sees her with all these glass shards in her face every night.
I mean, if it were me, I probably would too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that I would never be able to forget. Such guilt
you can't get rid of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So the next morning, mm-hmm. Ed and Warren are getting the boat prepared. Mm-hmm. And then Warren and Ochre are doing their duty as altar boys. So they did all their fishing stuff at the beginning, like early in the morning.
Well, they're kind of prepping the tone too for like the storm coming.
Correct.
Because the sky is so red.
Yes.
And the dad, Ed, is that rhyme thing of like red sky at night. Fisherman's delight.
Yeah.
Red sky in the morning, fisherman warning or something.
Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. That's right.
I think that's right. We really probably slaughtered it, but hey, they get the point.
All I know is it's foreshadowing. But yes, like you said, we're back at St. Patrick's Catholic Church.
Which a lot of this is taking place there.
100%. And there's a sign like on the front of the church. Like, you know, we put the like letters on it.
Yeah.
Kind of like what we do for our movies.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if they don't really have a letter budget or something, because a lot of the letters are being used like as numbers instead.
Uh-huh.
So there's a couple of like A's that were a 4.
Of course.
But it said on the sign, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Genesis 1:3.
Okay.
And some of the letters were 4s. So, okay, cool.
That was your takeaway.
Yes. So Warren and his friend are altar boys. So they're setting up for church. They're getting like the wine ready and all that stuff. So they're just kind of talking to each other. And they said something about like, I guess, getting the wine or the blood of Christ whatever ready.
Uh-huh.
So they go and turn and it's already set up on the table.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, someone must have already done it. And I'm like, noted. That's weird.
I'm listening.
Okay. Don't trust it, but fine. So now we're in the church and mass is starting.
Yes.
So Riley like rings this obnoxious bell. I don't know what it is.
It's loud. There's like 3 bells in one.
I don't know what it is. I don't remember that ever happening when I was like growing up. I had to go to like Sunday school and go to church on Sundays. I don't remember that at all. But he like rings this obnoxious bell. It's a tiny little church. You know that's loud as shit. And then this younger priest starts walking down the aisle with these two altar boys.
Everybody starts whispering.
Everybody, they're already like singing this song or whatever. And they're already like getting ready for him to be there. And they all start getting quiet, noticing that it's not the Monsignor that they've had before. Uh-huh. It's this completely different priest that they've never met before.
Right.
And he just like walks and like he owns the place and he just struts up to the altar and he just stands there and everybody is just staring at him. Like,
yes.
What the fuck?
Who is this guy?
Uh-huh.
And what has he done with Monsignor?
And he tells everybody that Monsignor fell ill during his pilgrimage. But he's on the mainland. He's being checked out. Everything's fine. He promises that he will be okay.
Right.
But the clergy had him come to fill in for Monsignor in the meantime. And his name is Father Paul.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't think I trust him.
Well, I mean, I think we're going to find out more about him.
Yeah. But he's the charismatic one that IMDb is talking about.
Yes.
Because he sure shit is.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
He's quiet and he's...
He has this way of not being judgy toward people. Like,
right.
Because after Mass, now he's outside the church, like saying hi to everybody who came to Mass. So he's saying hi and goodbye to them, introducing himself. He's talking to them. He's talking to the Rileys at one point too. Riley and his parents.
Uh-huh.
And they notice that he didn't take communion during Mass. Like
Correct.
Everybody noticed. And the father, fucking awkward as shit, he's like, oh, I noticed you didn't take communion. And I'm like, why are we making this so awkward? Like, leave the poor guy alone. Okay. Leave him alone. So Riley kind of made a comment about, you know, he feels like he's like maybe fallen from grace a little bit, whatever. And the father had this comment back about, you know, those are the best kind of people. That's who God wants. Like all this stuff to like accept his faults
right.
or what his insecurities are. And I'm like, well, this is why everybody likes him, because he's not judging everybody. He has an answer for everything, this guy.
I know.
He never answers people's questions, but he has an answer for everything.
Uh-huh. And he's really calm.
So calm. And he's like, no judgment at all. And they're all like, oh, okay.
I guess we can trust him.
I'm skeptical.
I mean, I think as watchers of this entire thing, we are going to be a little skeptical.
Yes, but he was nice to everyone.
Yes.
Every single family. He shook their hand. He said hi. I mean, he engaged with everybody who was in church, which was maybe a dozen people. But engaged with everybody.
But he knew them.
Yes. Because he would say things like, oh, Riley, Monsignor told me about you. And like say stuff to them as if he had already known them. And I don't like it. At all.
You know a little bit too much, Father Paul.
Yes. It's creepy.
It is creepy. Mm. All right. So after they kind of like say their goodbyes or whatever, Riley and Aaron kind of connect.
Yes.
And they go for a walk. As Miss Keene is just kind of staring in her little judgy way, they just kind of turn around and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their little conversation, and Riley asks where Aaron had went. Like, where'd she, when she went to the mainland, where'd she go?
Yeah.
And so she went to New York and when she ran away, but she had gone to like all across the country.
Yep.
Like, she ended up in New York.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Riley said he figured that she would end up there or whatever. So Riley says that he went to Chicago when she asked where he went. Partied, did stocks, like he was having a great life.
Yeah.
And then they talk about the communion and him not taking communion.
Yeah.
And he says that he searched for it while he was in prison, but nothing was for him. Like he tried all kinds of different religions.
100%. He read about everything.
I think he's like listed off probably like 8 to 10 to 12 different religions that he tried to get a be a part of.
Yeah.
He said he looked everywhere for God, but then he ended up coming out of prison an atheist.
Yeah.
I mean, do you,
good for him. It works for him, fine.
Right.
But it was kind of funny. After they had this whole talk, she's like, well, I guess we're both idiots because we've both come back to the place you've been trying to get away from.
Right.
Like, they're both there.
It's kind of, if you think about it, like, if you were, like, everybody tries to leave where they came from.
Sure.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people that stay, you're like, I don't know how they do it.
Right.
But then,
like, vacuum them back or something. Yeah.
But if you went back, you'd be like, yeah, this is a little weird.
Yeah.
But you'd probably accept it.
Yeah.
Because you know.
Right.
I mean,
you know
how
to deal with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%. And I think also for Aaron, too, like, with the Brady bitch being so judgy of her, we should note that Aaron is not really married. Like,
right.
She has a guy situation that she's not with anymore, but she's pregnant and she's on this island back in her really religious town by herself.
Correct.
20 weeks pregnant. So there's already heavy judgment coming from this very religious island toward her because she's dealing with what's got going on for her. So she's like, okay, this is what I'm dealing with it. And she's totally fine with it.
I think she's doing it with grace.
100%.
I mean, I like the way she's handling. Obviously, she just kind of has to deal with all the side eye look.
Of course.
But I mean, she's making it work.
It doesn't faze her though.
No.
She's a tough bitch.
Yes, she is. Mm-hmm. I like her.
Me too.
All right. So now we're kind of back at the church. When everyone is gone, Father is sitting there in this like empty church when Miss Keene comes in and asks.
I'm going to do it every time. I hate her.
She asks if he needs anything else before she leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in her nosiness, she asks why he's wearing the gold chasuble instead of the green one. Because the gold one is only for like special occasions.
Yeah, like some type of feast or something.
Correct. And he said he couldn't locate it.
Yeah, he's like, maybe Monsignor's put in a spot I couldn't find it. Like, this was the first one I can find, but I'll look and see if I can find the green one.
She's like, well, you just let me know. I'll order more if you need to.
But his response was a little shady, though.
Wasn't it?
Because he seemed a little uncertain of his answer.
Right.
Because it felt like he was scrambling a little bit for an excuse on why he was wearing the gold one and not the green one.
Right.
And I was like, okay, he's a little shady.
Well, I feel like that's going to come back.
I feel like that too. Yeah. It means something of why he wore the gold one. I feel like it was intentional why he wore it.
I think it was.
We don't know yet though.
No, we don't, but we will. I'm sure we will. So back with Riley and Aaron, he asks why she came back to the island on purpose. Mm-hmm. And she asks, you know, how he is. And he says that he doesn't know how he is.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, how are you?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I don't know.
I know.
I don't know how
really
I am.
Sweet.
Because he realizes at that point that, you know, he can't get a job. He can't go to school. He's literally just existing.
Yeah.
Serving no purpose to anyone and literally just breathing.
Yeah.
Poor guy. And he says that he shouldn't even be alive, which...
So much guilt.
A lot of guilt.
And it doesn't help, I'm sure, with his family, like with his dad being disappointed in him.
Correct.
And coming back to this island that everybody knows his baggage and is judging him already. Not helping.
No. So she just tells him to ride out the storm tonight and then find another project in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So your project right now is to survive the storm.
Yep.
Basically.
The actual storm and the like.
The literal.
The literal. Yes.
All right, so everyone on the island is preparing for the storm, securing, boarding up everything, getting candles ready. And then we are with Father Paul in his house as he's reading this Bible on an extremely uncomfortable looking couch.
Yeah, it's tiny.
It's tiny.
Yeah.
It's like fairly narrow, like not even butt, like butt width.
Oh, yeah. Half of his thigh is hanging off of the couch. It's not comfortable looking at all.
I feel like you just go lay in bed and read. I don't.
Sitting on the wood floor be more comfortable than that shit.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
So we see this wooden box that's behind him. It's open. Uh-huh. And there looks like, to me, I rewound it.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what was in this box. Is it looked almost like ashes or like...
It looks like wet a little bit.
Something was in there and it looked like it was like covered with sawdust. Like I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
It was dark.
Something was not right in the box.
No.
Yeah.
And then the lights go out.
Of course.
Of course they do.
Of course I do.
So we are with Riley in his room now. Mm-hmm. And as he's looking out of his window at this storm... We see a man in a trench coat, uh-huh. which...
With a huge hat.
Yes. And we think it's... The or Monsignor. He thinks it's Pruitt. Mm-hmm. Pruitt.
Yeah.
Monsignor.
Well, because there was this, I guess, story that someone claims that they had seen Monsignor Pruitt at, like, the grocery store, the general store mm-hmm. in town, wearing his typical trench coat thing and his big-ass hat.
Correct.
And someone said they saw him, but they knew he was on that pilgrimage. So they were like, well, it couldn't have been him, but someone claimed it was, whatever, whatever. So now Riley is seeing the same thing someone else in town claimed they saw however long ago about Monsignor Pruitt.
Right.
So he sees it outside, like, because their house is, like, on the shoreline, like, on the beach right there. And he sees it in the, I mean, because it's a hurricane or whatever it is, pouring.
Correct.
So he runs into the kitchen, and now his whole family was looking at this kitchen window, and they don't see anything.
No.
And he's like, I saw something.
You have to believe me.
And the mom, his mom is very sweet, but she's very naive.
Yes.
And she's like, well, you know, Father Paul said that he's on the mainland. He can't be here if he's ill. He's on the mainland. And, like, it's there's an answer for everything.
Correct.
You know, like, there's always a blanket to cover up anything, you know?
Right.
So Riley doesn't believe it, of course. He's like, I saw a man outside on the beach. So he goes outside in this crazy-ass storm and sees the man on the beach.
Right.
And he calls.
He starts chasing after
him. Yeah, he calls to him. And now he's chasing him down the beach. And I'm like, if you think this is Monsignor Pruitt, for a sick old man, he is flying down the beach. He is, like, hauling ass running down this beach. And he is chasing him down the beach. And then all of a sudden, he just disappears.
Right.
He's gone.
Yeah.
And now he can't find him at all.
So, and you could see the, like, flashes of lightning. So it kind of, like, lit up the area.
Yep.
So he was just gone.
And disappeared.
If he was there, we would have seen him.
Yes. And it was like, when he's chasing him, once we saw the lightning kind of light up the beach, that's when he was like, where the fuck did he go?
Right.
And he's like, okay. So he just turns around, kind of looked around, and just walked back to the house.
And that was it.
Oh, boy.
The next day, we see clips of the island. Like, they're showing shots of the island and how, like, the storm has trashed the entire place. Annie said that they should just go out to the rectory and find Mansoor and make sure he's okay.
Yeah.
So she kind of believes Riley.
Yeah.
And says...
But the phones were out. So they're like, well, maybe we'll go further into town to, like, talk, I guess. Or, like, just down the street, I guess. Okay, so the whole family goes outside to check, like, I guess what damage happened to their house.
They start cleaning up a little bit.
Yeah, because it's kind of debris and garbage all over. So then there's so many seagulls. There are, I mean, hundreds of seagulls making a crap ton of noise, flying all over the place. So then Riley sees something on the beach, and he calls to his dad, and he's like, what is that?
Yeah, you got to come over and see this.
They start walking over, and the beach is covered. The entire beach is covered with
hundreds
of dead cats. Okay.
What is that?
That's it in episode one. That's how that episode ends.
Yeah, that's it.
But
that's
they
it.
Look up and out to their left and right of this whole shoreline, cats everywhere.
Yes.
Like in a whole line at the entire shoreline.
Yes. And the seagulls are picking them
to death. It's
gross. Yeah.
That's how episode one ends.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's great. It's a good cliffhanger though.
It is.
I'll give that.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out what happens.
Yeah.
Happens next.
Castles in episode two to find out.
Well, that was the end of episode one.
Uh-huh.
So make sure that you guys check out episode two because that's coming up next.
Things get more interesting in episode two.
They really do.
Things start happening.
They do.
You're going to want to listen.
We get a little bit more into the story.
Uh-huh.
And we've already met everybody.
Yeah. We had character development in episode one.
Right.
Episode two, weird shit starts to happen.
Don't miss it. Okay, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God. God, she scared the shit out of me.
She
pawed me. God damn it. She scared me. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Didn't feel like your foot.
Are you playing footsies with me?
I don't know, maybe.
You really need to cut your toenails.
Were they too hairy, too?
Hairy and very pointy. I'm sorry to offend
Dustin,
anybody.
Fix all this, okay? Just fix it.
Oh my God.
How's he going to fix it?
I don't know. Just take out my freaking out or something.
Okay.
We say that different. You say fairy and I say fairy.
We say that different? Does it sound different?
Yeah. Say it again.
Fairy.
Fairy.
How do you...
To me, it sounds like you're saying like F-A-I-R. Like what? Like a fairy. Like it's like a tooth fairy.
Yeah, but that's how you say it.
Fairy.
Fairy.
Fairy. Does it sound different in your head? Because it sounds different in my head.
Just like a little bit of a dialect
It sounds
difference.
Like you have an A in there and I have an E in there.
Fairy.
I think you're saying fairy.
Fairy. Is that my southernness coming out?
Fairy.
Fairy.
And mine might be my northernness. Fairy.
Moving on.
And there's a character in this movie named Sarah, which I know we're going to say different too.
Oh, probably.
Because you're going to say Sarah.
Sarah. Sarah.
Sarah.
I'm Stephanie and I say Sarah.
Let me be pretentious for a second and say Sarah. Okay, back to what you were saying.
Oh my God.
They're talking in his room about his dad not showing up. God. She's making excuses for him.
Hey, I feel like we need to get back onto the subject right now.
About what?
Don't be calling me like I'm doing something wrong.
You're calling me all the time like I'm doing something wrong.
Oh, that's true. I'm going to let it go. It's a fairy.
Fairy.